I have spent more than 40 years of my life pretending to be someone I was not. During that time, I believed I was doing the right thing, pretending to be a boy, a son, a man, a husband, and a father. Growing up, I was desperate for the approval of the adults in my life, to fit in and be who they thought I was. I worked hard in school, and I learned to make friends with the boys around me. But it wasn't me. My life before transition was like living in a gray world, devoid of color, excitement, and purpose. I was an actor playing my part, following a script that society had written for me. Something was always missing, but I kept moving forward anyway, motivated solely by my drive to fit in. Beyond that, I had not a clue as to why I played the role society cast for me. My life felt meaningless, disconnected to the outside world, a stranger to myself. In childhood, I knew I was different. I never liked the rough and tumble games that boys played. I wanted to play hopscotch with the girls instead. But I didn't dare. I never wanted to invite ridicule. So I stayed on my side of the gender line. As I headed toward puberty, the obstacles I ran into multiplied. The changes to my body felt wrong, and I had no idea how to act as boys around me became young men who started to realize they liked girls. I liked girls too, but I had no idea how to be a young man. I spent my teenage years avoiding social gatherings and burying myself in books and my studies. At some point, an awakening hit me. I was really a woman. I felt it in my bones, in my heart, in my soul. I also knew how dangerous it was to admit such a thing. I had no one to confide in and very little information. At the time, it seemed easier to close my eyes and pretend my awakening never happened. I told myself that what I knew to be true was wrong. I allowed fear to control me. And I went on to accomplish many things. I earned my master's in English, taught college classes for a while, and then enlisted in the U.S. Peace Corps and served in the Philippines as a teacher trainer. While in the Philippines, I met and married the woman I fell madly in love with, and then the obstacles multiplied again. Even though I pretended it didn't exist, my femininity became painfully obvious. I heard comments all the time that brought out the anger in me, words that people use to shame others who do not act according to their assigned gender. It wasn't just that I was angry at people for using those ugly words. I was even more angry with myself. In order to continue moving forward, I had to break the silence. I told my wife. To my surprise, she did not abandon me. If anything, at that time, it brought us closer. She became my protector, my ally, and my teacher. From her, I learned the characteristics that advertised my femininity and how to turn down the volume on femininity and start adopting more masculine characteristics. It felt unnatural, but it got me through a difficult part of my life. Eventually, I found that I needed to express my natural femininity and did so privately. I wore feminine clothing at home sometimes, or makeup. I joined a cross-dresser support group and explored my feminine self more fully. I started going out in public as a woman with members of my support group. But then it all became too much. Living my truth was so addicting, and it became harder and harder to switch back and forth. I felt such a strong high as a woman, and then I fell into a dark depression going back to the masculine role. It took a toll on me. I gave up on the cross-dressing, but it became harder and harder to put on the mask and pretend I was a man. My true self demanded to be set free, and I was so worn down that I lost the will to fight. I was terrified of transition, but I soon realized that transition was the only way to save my life. I started taking estrogen, and in less than a week, my drab world bloomed into technicolor. And I felt joy for the first time. This time, puberty felt right. I started to like what I saw in the mirror. And I started to understand my connection to the world around me. Within a few years, I went through my version of teenage girlhood, experimenting with clothes and makeup. I developed my sense of style and had to grow up quickly into a strong woman who could take care of herself. The war inside me was finally over, and I had won. But another war was just beginning. Whenever we are true to ourselves and stop trying to please the people around us, we risk the consequences of our actions. We risk failure and ridicule and judgment, persecution, discrimination. Society can be harsh to those of us who stand our ground and refuse to toe the line. After my coming out, I lost friends, family members, and my teaching job. I lost a new friend and member of the trans community to violence on the street in Fresno, about a mile from my home. It took 2 years to bring her killer to justice, and he will be eligible for parole in just a few years. My transition at work made the local television news, and the threats against me poured in. I feared for my life every time I went to work, and then they threw me out at the end of the school year. They did their worst to me. I was shunned, ridiculed, and kicked to the curb. I was down, but I got back up again. And I let my light shine. I refused to let fear get to me this time. And I refused to let anyone take away my livelihood. It took all summer, but I found a new job with better pay. After 2 years, I was awarded tenure, and I established myself anew in San Jose. My wife decided not to join me in my new location, and recently we separated. The losses were hard, but what I gained was so worth it. Looking back, I have no regrets. We can only be who we truly are. The road was hard and a lot of doors closed, but new doors opened. We must stand up and fight the good fight. As long as we get back up whenever we get knocked down, we will eventually reap the rewards. In today's reading, the owners of a slave woman who exploit her divination gifts for profit became angry with Paul, who freed the woman of the spirit that enabled her exploitation. As punishment, Paul and Silas were beaten and sent to jail. We hear nothing more about the woman, who was probably also severely punished. The reading portrays the abuse of minorities who stand against the powers that be, who value profit above the rights of the poor, Paul and Silas endured their abuse and continued to express their faith through prayer and song. They were flogged, imprisoned in the innermost cell, and their feet locked in stocks. Society knocked them down in a severe manner. But they did not abandon hope. Their prayers and hymns inspired the other prisoners, and when the earthquake struck, freeing them, they stayed and saved the jailer from death. Paul and Silas stayed true to their purpose and were rewarded. Paul has always fascinated me. He began as a persecutor of Christians, but found his divine purpose and became one of the most important figures in the history of the early church. His blindness symbolizes his false sense of purpose, and his new sight helped him see the truth. His journey inspires me. I had so much fear of my truth that I went deep into denial. But like Paul, my eyes opened and I found my own divine purpose. We all have our own unique paths, our own purposes. Society tries to control us and keep us in line, supposedly for the greater good. But all too often, we end up being oppressed by the powers that be to suit their own greed and designs on power. By finding our divine truth and purpose, we reclaim our own power to do what is right and create God's kingdom on earth. It takes great courage to stand up and fight for truth and social justice. It takes courage to fully express ourselves, to stand for something and be the only one standing. In some way, we are all the other, the one who does not quite fit. The longer I live, the more I understand that each of us is unique, with our own challenges that are not always obvious to each other. We all have insecurities, quirks, and limitations. We all need love and acceptance. One of the people I truly admire is Ralph Waldo Emerson, a former Unitarian minister and one of our greatest American philosophers. Emerson spoke of something he called the oversoul, a great spiritual entity that exists within all of us. Each of us is a small part of the oversoul and connected to each other. I love this model of looking at humankind because it concludes that we are all one, that if we harm another, we harm ourselves. We all have that divine spirit. We are in this together, and we must help each other for us all to thrive. Emerson also believed in finding God and meaning in nature. All life is connected, and God exists within all life. When I read Emerson, I feel a unique inspiration and a power within myself to stay strong and trust my own intellect and my own instincts. Any fear I had is gone, and I do not give anyone permission to bring me low. When others want to find fault with me, with who I am, I see it as a projection of their own insecurities and fears. I know who I am, and I love the person I am becoming. I love all of you in this congregation. I love every child who walks into my classroom. I love my neighbor as myself. There is no such thing as the other in my world. We all belong. We are all important. In closing, I want to leave you with a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson's essay, Self-Reliance. I changed a couple of words so that it reads as more gender inclusive. But otherwise, these are Emerson's words of wisdom. Trust thyself. Every heart vibrates to that iron string. Accept the place the divine providence has found for you, the society of your contemporaries, the connection of events. Great people have always done so and confided themselves childlike to the genius of their age, betraying their perception that the absolutely trustworthy was seated at their heart, working through their hands, predominating in all their being. And we are now adults and must accept in the highest mind the same transcendent destiny, and not minors and invalids in a protected corner, not cowards fleeing before a revolution, but guides, redeemers, and benefactors, obeying the almighty effort and advancing on chaos and the dark. Thank you.